We want to look at rest in Christ's presence, and then tell you an analogy of finding peace in your storms. When the world around you begins to whirl like a desert storm, sand stinging your face, wind howling with confusion, heat pressing down with merciless weight, there is a quiet oasis set at the very center of your life. And the good thing is, it's not a mirage. It is the living presence of God, a sanctuary of cool water and shelter where your soul can breathe again. 1 John 4:12, no man hath seen God at any time. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. And this is where we go to find that peace. In the midst of the desert's chaos, love becomes the palm trees that sway gently over the pool in God's indwelling presence. So enter his presence, step beneath their shade, rest in the coolness of his perfected love, return to this oasis often, and drink deeply of the fruit that grows there. Drinking it, okay. Fruit of the Spirit himself. Galatians 5, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, and all these others. But find that, rejoice in it. Now, these are not abstract virtues. They're the sweet, refreshing nourishment that God offers weary travelers. So taste them. Let their sweetness revive you. These are the evidences of God in this life. Think for a moment of the desert of human need. The world is a needy place, like a vast expanse of thirsty souls wandering under a burning sky. And as you serve him, their need will drain you. Their gratitude will evaporate like dew on hot sand. So do not depend on the thanks of the world to sustain you. Do not expect the desert to water you. Won't happen. Come instead to your long-suffering Savior. Come to the oasis. Hebrews 2:18, for in that he himself hath suffered, being tempted, he is able to succor, to give aid to them that are tempted, cried. We go to him and he says, yes, I know, I've been there. I felt that. So Christ has walked the desert himself. He knows its heat, its loneliness, its dangers. It was in the wilderness that he was tempted, you know, remember? His scars are the map of every human sorrow, and from those scars flows the perfect wisdom to lift you when your knees buckle beneath the weight of your journey. Hebrews 4:14. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, tried, like we are, yet without sin. So think of it as you're there in his presence. He has felt the scorching winds. He has endured the sandstorms. And he meets you not as a distant observer, but as one who has survived the desert and now stands at the oasis beckoning you into shade and safety. So as we enter the oasis, let's think of this. Take time to embrace him in prayer. Don't just retreat from the world. Embrace him in prayer. Bow low at his feet. Weep if you must. Sometimes we're there at that point. Lean your head upon his chest, as John did, feeling the steady heartbeat of the one who calms the storms with a word. Cast your burdens, heavy as water jars, on your camel, onto his unfailing heart. Now, pride will keep you from wandering the dunes alone, will keep you wandering the dunes alone. It'll not keep you from it. It'll keep you there. Pride will. Humility will guide you to the oasis. Now, Peter talks about this, and I wanted to get that idea of the humility in. So I'm giving you a longer verse because all I'm really looking at is the very last thing he says. 1 Peter 5:5-7. Likewise, ye younger, here he is using younger as opposed to an elder. Elder of the church, younger is all the people under the elder. Ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. That's the humility. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility. For God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. So humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. He's the one who set this chain of command up, you see, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. So it's humility that's the garment that protects you from the desert sun. It opens your heart to God's mighty hand, which lifts you higher than self-reliance ever could. God does not ask you to be strong enough for the desert. He asks you to trust the one who's already conquered it. So we find in our humility weakness, but there is strength in weakness. 2 Corinthians 12:9, Jesus answered Paul's prayer. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. My strength, your weakness, nothing shows off a diamond better than perhaps black velvet, you see, something that doesn't reflect light at all, just the opposite. And so it's our weakness, our humble weakness, that shows the power of God. So Paul's response then, most gladly therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. So we get there and we say, I'm too weak for this, but your weakness is not a liability. It's the empty vessel that his strength fills, like cool water poured into a cracked cup. When you look to people for completion, you place on them a weight they can't carry. You're demanding too much from them. You're asking the desert to give you water. But when your wholeness is anchored in Christ alone, you're free to bless others without demanding that they sustain you. So your service becomes a gift, not a grasping. I'm helping, but I want. And we find light in the desert night. The problem of the desert is not only its heat, but it also grows dark quickly. Shadows stretch long. Depression can settle over the soul like a cold, starless night. So refuse the world's remedies for darkness. Turn instead to your Savior, whose light is not a flickering torch, but the rising sun. 1 John 1:5-7. This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light, and in him there is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. You can't hold on to your darkness if you're trying to walk, if you're actually walking in the light of God. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. So to walk with God is to walk in his light, light that exposes sin, cleanses the heart, and warms the soul. So step fully into that light. Let it chase away every lurking shadow. 1 John 2:8-10. Again, a new commandment I write unto you, which thing is true in him and in you. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. He that saith he is in the light and hateth his brother is in darkness even till now. He that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling. There is no scandal in him. So love is the glow of the oasis at night, perhaps the lanterns hung in the palm branches, the firelight that keeps travelers from stumbling? Let Christ's commandment of love drive out every shadow of resentment. Only the one who loves his brother abides in the light, walks in a path where nothing causes him to fall. And so the oasis of Christ, at the center of your life, beneath the scorching sun, amid the swirling storms, beyond the reach of darkness, there is an oasis lit by Jesus himself. His light motivates our fellowship. His love drives away hatred. His presence calms the turbulence of the world. So, this is a place you can go. Come to him. Rest in him. Drink from him. Let the oasis of Christ become your sanctuary in the desert, a place where storms cannot reach, where darkness cannot enter, and thirst is forever satisfied. Here's an image. The stormy world around us, the cool water, and the shade waiting at the oasis.